All right, Proverbs chapter number 3. We're going to read verse number 6 today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6 this morning. Take your Bible and let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read one verse, verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let's read that one more time. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want to speak this morning on this subject, renewing your daily walk. Renewing your daily walk. Father, thank You for this morning. Holy Spirit, we ask that You meet with us. I don't know any human being alive today that has a right to approach You on their own merit, in their own strength, and on their own self. So Holy Spirit, we come to You today and we ask that You would please flow through us to Your people. Use us as a tool, as an instrument, as a channel to flow through to Your people. I ask that You just forgive me for anything that'd be in the way from You reaching down through me to Your folks. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We're coming out of a difficult time of cold, snow, and early darkness. The new year has faded. And as we have slowly stopped becoming faithful to the promises we made to God and ourselves back at the beginning of the year. As the April showers and the dull winter ends, and with the warm summer days of May, or spring days, I should say, of May coming upon us, we need to look back at our year so far, 2013, and see if we're living according to the goals that we set in our heart and our mind, and according to the promises that we made ourselves to the Lord as we began the year. A few years ago, I read a book about addiction and the effect that addictions have on people. In fact, it was quite a while ago. In this book, it spoke about the number of people who would return to the habit they had recently overcome. The cause me to do more studying as I learned about it. It caused me to do more studying and why we behave like we do as human beings. And why we return to our own ways. Why do we return to the old things we used to do that we don't do? What causes us to, we like to call it in our Christian circles, backslide? I learned that though you and I may not be struggling with addictions like drugs or gambling or sexual sin or liquor or smoking or cursing and so on, many of us are addicted to not reading our Bibles. We're addicted to not praying. We're addicted to not hiding God's Word on our heart. We're addicted to not walking with Him daily. We are addicted to caring for ourselves in our own way. We're addicted to doing everything we want rather than doing what we need to do and what we know we need to do when it comes to the Lord. A friend of mine later on, after I had read these books, told me about a program called Reformers Unanimous. Reformers Unanimous. It's a Christian-based addiction recovery program. It's used in many churches today. This program is about the way God helps people overcome the hurts and the habits of addictions that try us so much. The road to recovery for many people is not always an easy one, and there can be many setbacks as I learned about this program. As I learned about that program and have studied it over the years, I've also learned that Christianity is the same way. Learning to walk with God is overcoming an addiction of self-dependence. And we have many setbacks as we go through overcoming self-dependence. People revert back to drinking or back to gambling or back to addictions of all types. And yet we are the same way. We backslide. We step backwards. We come to a tendency to try to gain control over ourselves and deny that we even have a problem of surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Yet oftentimes that's exactly what we have, is a problem surrendering our life over to the Lord. I learned from studying these programs and reading a number of books and over 35 years of counseling experience that there's some basic steps we all seem to repeat that cause us to go back to the pattern and regress in our Christian life. And it doesn't seem to matter whether it's liquor. It doesn't seem to matter if it's drugs. It doesn't seem to matter whatever the addiction may be. It seems that we all take these same steps. And when it comes to the Christian life, we made some promises to God in our own hearts and mind at the beginning of the new year. I'm going to read my Bible through this year. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to hide God's word in my heart. I'm going to go to church and not miss a church service. I'm going to do that which is right. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to tell other people the gospel message. And we made all sorts of promises to ourselves and to God. And now, as the winter whiles away, we have a chance to take a few moments to reflect on where we stand at this part of the year of 2013. Let me give you these steps that I learned that we take that cause us to have regression in our walk with God. Number one, we become complacent. We become complacent. We become complacent. Proverbs chapter 24 verse 10 says this, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We become satisfied with what we're doing. That's what happened. We started our year out good. We started reading our Bible. We started memorizing scripture. We started praying every day and we were doing well. And we became satisfied with what we were doing. We weren't missing church services. If we did miss a church service, it was because there was a reason, like sickness or something happened and we couldn't be in town or something occurred in our life. And it wasn't because we just didn't want to go. It wasn't because we got tired. It wasn't because we just were overwhelmed that day. And we weren't making excuses for not coming to church. And we weren't making excuses for not reading our Bible. And we weren't making excuses for not hiding God's Word in our heart. We were doing the best we could. Yes, we had days that we stumbled and fell. But then we got up the next day and we got back to work. And we became satisfied that what I was doing okay. We felt like we were doing everything we needed to do. So we quit trying. We quit trying and we put it in automatic. We put it on cruise control. We put it on automatic pilot. We thought, okay, I've done what I needed to do. I've pushed myself as far as I need to push myself. And I put my life on auto. And I felt everything was fine. And we're not going backwards. We're not doing anything. We're just continuing as we have been. Victory's ours! I made it! And we became complacent. And God warns us about this. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3, he says this, "For consider him that endureth such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be unless ye be wearied and faint in your minds." We don't realize it, but we're entering a time of trial and adversity every day. We forget that there's a constant challenge. There's a constant contradiction to the way we're living. The world pulls at us and pulls at us and pulls at us. And we're never quite satisfied with the world. We always seem to want more. But when it comes to the Christian life, we seem to get satisfied, don't we? We seem to think that we made it. We seem to think that everything's okay. We don't realize that we're entering in a time of adversity and trial. We stop attending church or reading our Bible because we think we're okay. We're doing okay. And one day we mess up and then, And then before you know it, it's a second day. And then it's a third day. And then it's a week. and then it's 2 weeks, and then we haven't been in church for months at a time. We haven't read our Bible for months, and we've fallen way behind in our Bible reading schedule, and there's no point in keeping that anymore, we say. So many times we fail because we rely on our own strength to do these things. I cannot serve God in my own strength or own power. I cannot do anything for God in my own strength or own power. Neither can you. Psalms chapter 59 and verse number 12 says this, "For the sin of their mouth and their words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak." The key word here is pride. We got proud. We got complacent. We got satisfied. Pride means to depend on ourselves. Humility means to depend on God. And we walked away from our humility and we walked back into pride. I'm doing okay. Proverbs 11 verse 2 says this, "When pride cometh, there cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." So pride cometh. And soon we find ourselves sliding backwards, further and further and further. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 10 says this, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with well advised is wisdom." But with the well advised is wisdom. Proverbs 16 verse 18 says this, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." We were overcoming our difficulties. We're getting victory. It doesn't matter if it's in swearing, and smoking, or drinking, or overcoming drugs, or sexual sin. It doesn't matter if it's trying to overcome what we have become contented with by trying to do things on our own. All of us end up to the place where we get satisfied. We forgot everything starts with humbling ourselves before God and letting Him can have control over our life. Instead of us trying to read our Bible every day, we forgot to run to Him and have Him empower us to read our Bible every day. Instead of us trying to memorize the Word of God every day, we forgot that. We tried to do it. It didn't work. The wind blew. We turned over a new leaf, and then it turned over again. Then the wind blew some more, and it turned over again. And before you know it, it blew the leaf right out of the yard, and we can't even find it anymore. Because we kept trying to do it on our own. And we cannot do it on our own. At the beginning of the year, we said, "I can't do this alone, Lord. You got to help me." And every day we went to the Lord and said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore. You got to help me." And then before you know it, we started getting more and more and more continuous in our reading and in Bible memorization. We got more and more continuous in our prayer. And we went, "Woohoo! All right." And we forgot to wake up and say, "God, I need your help." And soon, temptation came. Soon, the world invaded. Soon, frustration came. Soon, other things started to involve our life, and we allowed those things to dictate to us what we do, rather than depending on God to do what we know we have to do. "Lord, I'm not going to miss any church services. I'm going to be in church." "Oh, but you can't stay awake." "But you will stay awake, because Lord, I'm going to depend on you, and I'd rather fall asleep in church than fall asleep at home." Amen? "I'd rather be in church and hear the preaching of the Word of God than to sit at home and not get anything at all." Why? Because I need it. It's going to help me. It's going to change me. It's going to encourage me. I need to read my Bible. If you can't be faithful in just simply reading your Bible, get a taste to listen to the Word of God with it. You can go to our website and you can click on "Listen to the Word of God" right along with your Bible reading. And you can listen to what the Word of God has to say as we're trying to read it. We got all these things that can help us, but when we quit going to them, God wants to empower us, but when we quit going to Him, we become contented. Number two, that brings us to number two. Because we get contented, and because we get to the place where we can become complacent, we become confused between what we're doing and what we're supposed to be doing. We become confused between what we are doing and what we're supposed to be doing. In other words, we say, "I know I need to read my Bible today, but I got this to do over here," and we become confused. "I don't have time to do this. What do I need to lay down? I need to spend some time doing this, or I need to spend some time doing that. I need to go over here, and I need to go over there." And before you know it, we become confused. What's more important right now? Well, can I tell you what's most important? The Lord. But we get confused. We allow the world to come in and confuse us. We allow the world to come in and tempt us. We allow the world to come in and confuse us. Listen, confusion's of the devil, it's never of God. Confusion's always of the devil, it's never of God. So when we start to get confused over something, oh, run back to God, run back to His Word, run back to Him, because in Him is safety, in Him is peace, in Him is satisfaction, in Him is encouragement, in Him is everything you and I need. Out there in the world with the devil, it's all confusing. That brings us to number three. Because we're confused, we begin to rationalize. We begin to rationalize. We think we're okay. We think it's okay to miss a few days. We think it's okay to miss a few services. We think it's okay to miss some Bible reading. We think it's okay, oh, the month has gone by and I only read two or three times this month, but okay, it's okay, I'll just pick up where I'm at. And that's the way we need to go, is pick up where we're at, but we need to stay faithful in it. And we start to rationalize that I'm not doing so bad. At least I'm doing better than last year. At least I got further than last year. And we rationalize. I'm still walking with God. Everything seems to be okay. I don't see any problems right now with me. I know where I'm at. I know how I feel. I know what's going on. And we think we can handle it ourselves. Why? Because we rationalized it. We figured it out. I know what I need to do. I know how I need to handle this. I know what my next step needs to be. And we keep patting ourselves on the back, breaking our arm in the meantime. To reach back there, it's hard. It's hard to wash your own back. That's why they make them scrub brushes for your back. Because you can't reach it yourself. We shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back. We should realize, I need God more and more every day. The more I walk with God, the more I know I need Him. The less I walk with Him, the less I think I need Him. And I think that's true with everybody's life. So we rationalize, I'm okay. I'm not so bad. It's okay if I miss one church service. It's okay if I miss two church services. It's okay if I miss this last week. It's okay if I miss Sunday morning. It's okay if I miss Wednesday night. It's okay if I miss whatever time God set up for my private time. Oh, I only miss family devotions this time. I only miss family devotions that time. And before you know it, we quit doing what we were doing, and we're back to where we were before without even realizing we are back to where we were. It's okay, it won't hurt this one time. That's what an alcoholic says when he takes that first drink. It's not going to hurt one more time. And then he takes that first drink and suddenly he wants that second drink. And before you know it, it may have been a few days go by, maybe a week goes by and he didn't drink another drink. And he goes, hey, that's okay, I did pretty good. But wait a minute, you didn't have any drinks before, but now you're drinking. And now you think, I can handle some drinks, and you can't. Before you know it, you're going to be back to being that old sot, sitting in the bar, drunk again, and spending your whole paycheck on doing nothing but drinking. Same with drugs, same with any kind of addiction. We seem to run back to it, and it gets worse every time we go back to it. And it gets harder to overcome, because now we think, well, I just can't do it, so I might as well just give up. Because we rationalize instead of continuing with what we knew gave us the victory. The same is true with Bible reading. The same is true with memorizing the Word of God. The same is true with church attendance. The same is true with tithing. The same is true with soul winning. The same is true with every aspect of the Christian life. It doesn't matter what it is. We rationalize that, oh, okay, I tried. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to in my lifetime as Christians. We said, well, I used to go to church, but, I'm okay. I don't go now. And that's okay. I realize I just can't. But it's okay to miss church. It's not okay. But once you start missing on a regular basis, we rationalize why it is okay. And the same is true with Bible reading. And the same is true with memorizing the Word of God. The same is true with our prayer time. Oh, we had a good prayer time and things are going well. And now we only pray when emergencies come up again. If it wasn't for an emergency, we wouldn't pray at all. Or meals. Lord bless this food. Amen. I prayed today. What do you mean, preacher? I prayed. I prayed this morning for breakfast. I'll pray at lunch. But you haven't had a personal walk with God. You haven't been spending time with Him. How long would that go for your wife or your spouse? The only time you communicate them was at mealtime. Hey, nice meal. And I'm not going to talk to you the rest of the day. You're sitting here all day long with me. You're sitting by my side. Oh, you want to talk to me? I'm not going to pay any attention to you. That wouldn't go over very well. Your marriage wouldn't last very long. You wouldn't be able to do a good job raising your children if that's how your children behave or you behave with your children. Yet that's where we were before. And suddenly, it seems like that's where we are again. Why? Because we rationalized it was okay. Which leads us to step number four. I said step number one is we become complacent. I said step number two is we become confused between what we're doing and what we're supposed to be doing. I said step number three is we begin to rationalize everything. I said step number four, as a result, we compromise. As a result, we compromise. As a result, we compromise. We willingly compromise. We go back to the sin that did so easily beset us. We're back to doing what we were before. Soon, over time, the hurt, the hatred returns to our life. Galatians 3:3 says, "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" We went back to the way of the flesh. We're no more faithful to our Bible reading today than we were December 25th, December 16th, December 1st. Oh, we got started good. We started the new year well. We made that decision, I am going to do it. Oh, we got through January, and we got through most of February, and we got part of March. Now April's almost done, and I just haven't had a chance to read anything in April. And by May, it's over. Unless we look honestly at ourselves. And decide, I am not going to compromise my life. Oh, we made a great effort. Oh, in the new year, I'm not going to miss a service. Oh, and then we missed one service. And then somebody got sick. And oh, we missed two services. And that wasn't so bad. God, here's what we say. Well, God didn't get mad at me. He didn't judge me. Well, God doesn't have to judge us for us to do right. Listen, did you have to get a spanking every time you did wrong to realize when you were a kid that you were doing wrong? No, it's only when we got carried away and continued and continued and continued and continued that when we got caught did we get reprimanded. Did we get spanked or stood in a corner or put in a timeout or got corrected properly to correct our life. But God doesn't work that way. God doesn't correct you in a way that He forces you to do what's right. God corrects us by convicting us in our heart and then us taking the actions to correct our life ourselves. And the only way we can correct our life ourselves is by confessing our sin and going to Him and allowing Him to lead us. That's how we started the year. Now with May right around the corner and summertime coming, the temptation to do less and less and less is going to be there. Summer will be here before you know it. The kids will all be out of school. We'll be wanting to get this done and go here and do that. And vacation time and go over that and do this. And before you know it, we're not going to have any spiritual life. And we'll be waiting for the new year to start again so that we could try it again. If we just take some time now and realize we are compromising. We are saying it's okay to do wrong. Because I did a little right. And it's a compromise. So what's the answer? Can we stop all this by going back and making a difference? Yes. We can stop all this by going back and making a truthful accounting to God for where we're at right now. That's what it takes. It takes a truthful accounting for where we are. We need to renew our daily walk with God. We need to go back to having a warm, personal, honest-to-goodness relationship with the Lord every day and spending time alone with Him. Remember, Bible reading is simply God talking to us. And remember that prayer is us simply talking to Him. Spending time with each other. Conversing with each other. Having a warm relationship with each other. It's like prayer is kind of like talking to God, but allowing us to crawl up into His arms and crawling in a little nook of his elbow and laying her head on his shoulder and relaxing and allowing him to be in charge. And we forget the enjoyment that has come with it because we allowed the world to intercede and have victory. At the beginning of each year, we ask ourselves, how am I doing? Well, at the beginning of this month, as we go towards the month of May, we need to say, how am I doing? Mark 14:38 says this, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And that's where we're at, isn't it? Our spirit wants to do the right thing. We want to walk with God. We want to read His Word. We want to be comforted by Him. We want to be strengthened by Him. We want Him to guide our life. We want Him to be in charge. And the spirit is ready. But the flesh, we're just weak. Everything gets in the way. Unless we on purpose decide, this is what I'm going to do with my time. Every day, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. Let God speak to me. I'm going to pray and tell Him all about my day and all about the things that are going on in my life. I'm going to remember His Word. I'm going to hide it in my heart that I have something to deflect the tempter when he comes with temptation and sin. It's funny. In the book of Psalms, chapter 1, the first three verses deal with this thing completely. Here's what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in this season. And his leaf also shall not wither. And I love this. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what we want. That's really what we want. We want to be like that tree planted by the river of water. I was reading a book by Ulysses S. Grant, past president of our country. And he was talking about the battle and the war between the United States of America and Mexico. That he was in, and the first battles he ever saw. And in this, he's reliving some of these things. And he's talking about the separation between Mexico and the United States of America, which is the Rio Grande. And he talks about how the Rio Grande meanders from this location to that location and moves over time. And you can tell where it moves because of the trees that are there. The trees by the river become strong and grow. And when the river moves away from those trees, they wither and die. And you can tell where the river has been by where the trees are withered and are dying. And where it is now by the trees that are flourishing and growing. And our life meanders, doesn't it? Sometimes we're a strong tree planted by that river of water, and sometimes we're thirsty. And we start to wither and die. Oh, we're saved. But our spiritual strength becomes weakened. And we wither up. And we keep fooling ourselves because we keep rationalizing and saying, I'm okay, I'm okay, it'll be okay. But day after day after day, we become weaker and we become weaker and we become weaker and we don't even recognize it because we walked away from that river of the Word of God. Let me read that again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what we need to do then. We need to walk with God, read his word, be faithful to services, give the gospel message out, tithe, memorize his word and hide it in our heart to be faithful. brings up some questions this morning. Simply these. How have you been? How's your Bible reading going? Only you know the answer. And only you know the real truth. Are you missing church services? What's been your reason for missing the services that you've been missing? Have they been a legitimate excuse? Or just excuses to stay out of church? You do know the truth. And only you know that truth. So you know then what steps you need to take as we end this month of April and begin the beautiful sunshine of May, June, July, and August. We need to walk with God and allow Him to nourish us. Father, thank you for what we learned today.